Hello, North Glen. I am Mayor Meredith Leidy. Thank you for joining us this evening. As we wait for residents to get on the line, I'd like to make just a couple reminders. North Glen is still in the safer at home status, according to the state, with more businesses and services opening slowly. And yes, a skate park, playgrounds, and dog park are all open. We are going to have three food truck events where we will be giving away free North Glen masks and hand sanitizer. Those will be on June 23rd, 26th, and 30th. And if you go to northglen.org or check out our social media accounts, you can find more details. We really want our residents to come on out because each North Glen family will receive a super cool gift bag that includes a $25 gift card to one of our fabulous North Glen restaurants. If this is the first time you've joined us for a telephone town hall, here's a bit about how this works. We typically talk for a few minutes as calls go out. Once we have everyone on the line, we make opening statements about the topic, then take questions via phone and online. If you are on the phone, simply hit *3 to ask a question. If you are listening to the live stream online, there is an area to type a question. George Floyd's death and our nation's reactions to that tragedy have raised a lot of questions about systemic racism and racial inequality in our nation. Locally, my city council colleagues and I have been responding to inquiries from residents regarding the policies and practices of our police department. We are here this evening with open hearts and open ears. Tonight is about listening to you, our community members. We are here to listen to your experiences and perspectives on what change you want to see in your community regarding racial inequity. If we want to truly understand the issues surrounding civil rights, racial injustice, systematic inequality, and police violence, we must listen to those directly impacted. Tonight, we also have council members listening in, city staff taking notes, and we will use this information to inform our next steps. We are going to talk less and listen more. Please know that we hear you, and we want to hear from as many residents as possible tonight, so we may thank you for your comments and limit our response back so that we can take the next caller. City Council is having robust conversations about where we need to go moving forward. It is not a matter of whether or not we are having the conversation. We are having the conversation, and our council and staff are committed to engaging you in this conversation. In the days ahead, our city manager will be working with staff to identify additional opportunities to engage you, our residents, in other opportunities where we will listen. Our goal is to share the feedback we receive to educate and inform this process. Our police officers need to be part of this conversation. I believe in our North Glen Police Department and affirm our support for the professional officers and staff that serve and protect our community. We know they have the best interest of the community at heart, and we affirm that we will provide them the support they need to continue to develop as a model police agency that values all people and upholds our community policing goals. Tonight, there are four of us to share information and take questions. City Manager Heather Geyer.
Good evening.
Police Chief Jim May.
Good evening, North Glen.
Commander Heidi Wolf.
Good evening.
Well, now that I added up, there's five of us. And we also have Mitch Wynzetti with Barry Dunn, the consulting firm working on the Police Department 360 assessment.
Hello, everyone. Pleasure to be here.
Thank you, Mitch, for joining us. City Manager Geyer, can you please share with us a few remarks?
Yes, thank you, Mayor Leidy. With recent events, there have been a lot of questions, and we hope to have a constructive conversation with our residents this evening. Racism is real. Systemic racism is not somebody else's problem, it's everyone's problem. It is a societal problem. One of the most important things we can do is to educate ourselves and recognize This societal conversation is happening now, and we need to be a part of identifying where we want to go here in North Glen, and to be a model for other cities, towns, and communities to follow suit. To truly show up and do this work, we need open ears and we need open hearts, as the mayor alluded to. Our city council has affirmed their commitment to creating an inclusive and diverse community through the strategic plan. Our work in race and equity was put on hold due to COVID-19, and we're now in a space in our recovery efforts to start refocusing how we're going to move forward. In the fall, the city joined the Government Alliance on Race and Equity, also known as GARE, as one of our first steps as an organization, because I not only recognize how important it is to engage in this work, but I also recognize that there is a whole lot to learn in this space. In December, we also brought a trainer in who conducted implicit bias training for our leadership team composed of directors. I want our organization to be a reflection of our community. There is much work to do here in North Glen. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you very much. So I'd like to hear from Chief May. Do you have some things you'd like to share?
Yes, thank you, Mayor. I just want to let everybody know that my heart is in North Glen. I've been in the community for over 28 years. I started my career here as a police officer. I worked my way up through the ranks and became your chief of police in 2011. And I'm here tonight to let you know that I'm listening. I want to make sure that everybody in our community has a voice and that our department is reflective of that and how we perform our duties. Our department is committed to providing exceptional police services that promote a safe and peaceful community. We value character, courage, commitment, and competence. They're the four pillars that all our officers represent. Community policing is at the heart of what we do, and we ensure that we take steps in the days ahead to ensure that our residents know we are here to serve and protect all residents and that we value everyone. So again, thank you so much for allowing me to be here tonight.
Excellent. Thank you, Chief. So we're now ready to take some questions and comments. Again, press *3 if you are on the phone or type your question online. I'm going to start with one of our online comments. I'm just going to read it. It's from a caller named Chase, and he says, reforms only pour more money into a system that we already spend millions on. We need more than that. We need accountability. We need to not only examine the justice system with a critical eye, but also commit to action. Examples of this might include, and then I think he ran out of space. So thank you, Chase, for that. One thing I'd like to remind all of our residents is you can reach out to us anytime with your comments and questions. All of our contact information is on the city website, so you can send myself and our city council members, you can send us emails, you can give us a call. So Chase, if the full comment was not represented, I encourage you to send us an email so that we can respond to you more fully. So we're going to now move on to one of our callers. So Nancy, good evening. How are you?
I'm good. How are you, Meredith?
I'm excellent. Thank you for calling. What is your question tonight?
Well, I have a couple. The first is, does North Glen have a database for officers, and is there an accountability for them? And what is the police chief's understanding of defunding police? Oh, and do they have cameras?
Okay. Hi, Nancy. Actually, at this time, we do not have cameras. When we built the new Justice Center, we made arrangements that the architect put in place where a place that we could eventually get cameras. So that's one of our strategic goals, to make sure that we have body-worn cameras probably within the next 3 years. And actually, now it's mandatory. But again, so that's something that we've been working on and that we knew that was coming. When it comes to, I guess I don't understand the defunding of the police. Are you saying, do I understand what they're asking when they're saying defund the police, or what are my thoughts on defunding the police?
Yes. What is your understanding of it?
Well, I think, again, I think, you know, working with mental, you know, some of the things with mental health officials, we work hand in hand in our community with the REACH Center to help us, you know, deal with mental health issues. They also help us with training of our officers. But for me, defunding, you know, or taking money away from the police department, I can tell you, and actually Mitch is online and he's gone through the 360 and looked at some of the staffing and where we're at. Years ago, you know, it showed that we needed more officers to make sure that, you know, we're providing the best service possible. And by reducing that number, the last thing I want to do is put everybody has a quality of life that, you know, in our community. We want to make sure that we meet those standards. So, again, it's really important for me not to defund, but actually fund the police department in a way that we're out there providing that extra service, you know, to our community and setting up some of those community relations programs, you know, to really connect with our residents.
Okay. And I think that the cameras should be your number one priority.
Talk about the state. Yep.
So the state's already putting some things in place. One of the things that we're doing as a county and everything else, looking at the logistics, actually we have a vendor coming in tomorrow, so we're going to get more detail on pricing and everything else, so we're better prepared when we go to the table with council, and especially during we have budget stuff coming up shortly, so we'll be bringing that stuff forward.
Great. And what about the database?
So one of the things we just one of the databases that we just put in play in May 1st, and we've had a tracking system, but it's, you know, it's, we went to a higher quality. It's called IA Pro Blue Team, which tracks all of use of force and complaints and everything else, and it tracks patterns of behavior, so we can go into. So if we see something that comes up, we can, you know, see if it's a behavior issue or a training issue, and then, you know, interact before anything serious happens. So that's how we handle that.
Okay, and who does that, sir?
That is done through, we have an IA division. We have an IA sergeant. But it first starts with the officers. When they use any force, they have to document it, and the supervisor looks at that, and it's put into the database. And then that's overseen by internal affairs sergeant. And then it's also that's overseen by our admin commander, who oversees internal affairs.
May I suggest a separate team to do that?
Yeah, we're open to anything, you know, looking at certain things. Again, you know, when it comes to the training and our policies and review on some of that. So, yeah, at this point, we'll bring whatever we can to the table and see if that's the best direction.
Okay, thank you. And I wanted to tell you, I do love the North Glen Police, and I appreciate your job, and you've always been very good to us. But I do think there need to be some changes, and I really do appreciate your time.
Nancy, I appreciate the comments. Thank you so much. And then I also see that there's some of my officers not wearing their masks. I will make sure I reinforce that when they get out of the car to put those masks on. So thanks for that, too.
Thank you, because when the motorcycle gangs were there, the police officers, all those people, they didn't have them on. But thank you.
You bet. Thank you.
Great day.
Nancy, thanks. For calling. It was lovely to hear from you. So our next caller, we're going to go to M. Jones. So I don't know if that's a Mr. or a Mrs. Jones, but welcome.
Thank you. It's Edward Jones.
Edward Jones. Nice. Thank you for calling. What is your question for us today?
I'm curious what the diversity of North Glen is. What are the statistics of the different races inside the city of North Glen? Does anybody know this?
Hi, this is City Manager Geyer. I'm happy to share those statistics with you. We're referencing 2019 U.S. Census data. There are approximately 58.73% of our population is Caucasian, 33.94% is Hispanic, for Latino, 2.9% Asian, and then 1.72% African American, and that's the community-wide statistics that we have.
As a side question, how does that relate to the rest of the state? Is that in line with everybody else in the state as well?
Oh, that's a great question that I don't have an answer for you.
Perfectly acceptable. I didn't expect you would have one.
Yeah, we can. I'll have staff help me find that information, and then we'll make sure we get it on our webpage. I can. Sure. So I'm sorry. The mayor was just making a suggestion. I do have additional numbers that might be of interest to the community tonight, and I'm going to share those demographic statistics for our police department specifically. We have 2.6% of our department is Asian or Pacific Islander, 3.9% of our department is Black, 9.1% of our department is Hispanic, and then 84.4% of our department is White. And then overall, as a city of North Glen organization, 78.8% of our employee makeup is Caucasian or white, 15.5% is Hispanic, Latino, 2% of our employee makeup is Black, and then 3.7% of our employee makeup is Asian or Pacific Islander. So hopefully those statistics are helpful for you.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Sure.
Did you have anything else?
No, I'm good. I'll be happy to let somebody else ask some more questions.
Okay. Well, we really appreciate you participating tonight. Thank you. So I'm going to look and kind of summarize a couple of the online questions that we have, and then I'm going to toss this to Mitch, because I think he can speak about the 360 assessment. So we have a couple questions about, what was the process like? Is there somewhere that we can get the information? So when is that information coming out, the 360 assessment? And then there's a question that says, from Dawn, it says, do you believe that the COVID issue and or Senate bill will alter the recommendations made by Barry Dunn? So I would love it, Mitch, if you could just kind of give us a little summary and then maybe answer those two questions.
Sure, absolutely. So, again, everyone probably doesn't know this, but this process actually started several months ago. It started out with us meeting with folks at the city and at the police department. We created a very large data request, which took them quite a bit of time to do, which was expected. That involves multiple documents, surveys, worksheets, et cetera, that we create. We came out to the city a couple of different times with a team and did somewhere around 80 or so interviews of government leaders, staff within the police department, external stakeholders for the police department. We had a couple of community forums. We also had an online community portal where people could go on and provide additional information. And all of that information then kind of funnels into our methodology, in which we're really looking at an entire cross-section of the organization, everything from policy to organizational structure to staffing levels to spans of control, crime rates, response times on calls, types of calls, crime analysis, and so forth. All of that then we are in the process of finalizing and putting into a final document that we're going to be presenting to the city, and that document will be forthcoming soon. I'm going to let Heather talk about that in just a moment. But as far as the COVID piece is concerned, really that isn't going to have any bearing on the recommendations or outcomes that we're producing. That's a very lengthy discussion about how that's affected the current environment. I am perhaps optimistic in hoping that at some point we're going to return to a different state of normal, but at least some sort of normal, which will likely resemble fairly closely where we've been. So I don't anticipate that altering our recommendations, but certainly, you know, as we go forward and progress over the next several months, you know, we may see that there are different trends that emerge that cause some shifts to occur.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate you answering that question, and we may get some more. Just a quick reminder, if you are online or if you're on the phone, if you press *3, you can type your question or submit your question. But if you're online, you can type your question. So we have quite a few online tonight, which is different from in the past. So if you're waiting on the phone, we appreciate your patience. I'm going to take a couple more online. So really quickly, we had a question from Kathy. It says, what is North Glen Police policy on chokeholds? So, Chief?
Hi, Kathy. We do not teach chokeholds, or another term that, you know, is used in that is lateral vascular neck restraints. So we do not teach that in our arrest control system. So we stay away from, you know, the neck, you know, at all times. So, yeah, so that's in our policy that we do not do that, or we don't and we don't train on it. So.
Okay. Thank you. So now we're going to go to Zach. Zach, are you ready? What is your question? Hi, Zach. Are you there? Zach? Okay, we think you're there. I see your question, so I'm just going to read it out loud because there's a couple others that have similar questions. It says that Zach heard the police officers are only receiving about 4 to 5 hours of training per year. Is that true? And so I'm going to let Chief answer that one as well.
Well, the quick answer to that is no. So if that was true, you know, again, you know, at a minimum by the Colorado Police Officer Standards and Training, we have to do a minimum of 24 hours a year. And Northland Police Department goes way above that. I think already this year, I would say most of our officers have, we did an in-service training back in February. Every officer went through. So I think most of the officers are probably 50 to 60 hours of training already this year with all the other training we do every month and some of the online stuff. So, and that doesn't include, you know, when we hire someone, they complete a six-month police academy, which is approximately 550 hours. Once they graduate that academy, they come back to Northland, and we do another 6 weeks of training with them in-house to learn the policies, procedures of Northland Police Department. And then we put them in a 14-week field training program. And so about 1,350 hours for a new officer coming in that we end up having, you know, time in. And then we also started this last year a mentor program. So, you know, so again, when officers come out, it could, you know, there's a lot to learn. And so we wanted to make sure that we hook them up with other officers that, you know, that they can have mentors and work them and to become a police officer. And again, one of my biggest things is that we provide great customer service and we treat everybody with dignity and respect. And you can ask my officers that they know that that's what's expected to them when they're out in our community.
Great, thank you. We didn't get to talk to Zach, but thank you for calling in. We're going to go back to the phones. I have Cecilia. Cecilia, are you still online?
Hello?
Hi. Thanks for calling.
Hi.
What is your question?
My question, well, it's not a question, but it's just my thought. I believe that all people matter. Everyone matters, no matter what color you are. And I just want to know, does anybody know who George Soros is? He's the one that plans all the protesting. How can we stop this man from doing this?
I don't know him.
I don't know him either. I can tell you some of, you know, the peaceful protests that happened in our community are homegrown from our own residents, and I don't think they received any outside coaching. I mean, I'd have to ask them, but just talking with them, I have the feeling that their passion was to get the word out. And again, they had peaceful protests, which we really appreciate. And again, that's a representative of our community on how we act and treat people. And it was very nice to see everybody coming together and in a peaceful manner. So, I don't see that, Celia. I don't think George Soros is impacting our community with protesters. I'm unaware.
Okay. I have heard, like in Los Angeles, in Florida, I have heard that he's done some things there. I don't believe it's right. I think when you destroy property, that's totally wrong. And I just feel like something has to be done about it, but don't know how it started or how you can stop it. Because destroying property is not the thing to do. When you do it peacefully, it's fine. But when people get hurt, and like I said, property gets destroyed, that's not a good thing.
Right. Celia, I agree. Thank you so much for your question. Have a great night.
You too.
Thank you. Okay, we're going to move to Boysen, I believe. I'm hoping I'm saying that right. Boysen
Loesch?
Loesch? Yeah, I'm so sorry. Could you say your last name for me?
Well, the last name I usually pronounce Lesh, but it really doesn't matter. I respond to anything.
I'm so sorry. So thank you for calling. What is your question?
My question is to change the subject a little bit, although I think the matter of policing and the current concerns over racial tensions is all very important. My question, however, is about the new North Glen Rec Center and how the COVID-19 pandemic might affect that. It appears that it could be quite possible that we'll never be able to use closed spaces the way we did in the past. And a rec center may have to be different than it was just 6 months ago, let alone when ours was being designed. So I'm thinking, has this come up? Has this been discussed? Is it being considered that we maybe should take a pause and see what the actual usage going forward would be for the rec center, and not to abandon it, but maybe to make changes before the new center is built? In other words, rather than building a new center and then finding that we have to radically change the theater or the water feature area or the exercise rooms, maybe we should wait and see and change our design before we spend money on something that we can't use the way it's currently envisioned. Has that been thought of? Has that been discussed?
Well, then this is Heather Geyer, the city manager. I really appreciate your question because throughout our COVID-19 response, we are in a position where we've had to rethink so many things in terms of city operations, in particular park and recreation programming. Fortunately, time is on our side. We are scheduled to have the recreation center completed in the fall of 2021. Construction is continuing. If you've recently driven down Community Center Drive, you'll see that Memorial Parkway has been constructed, and the building has gone vertical. And so we have the walls for the theater, the main gymnasium area going up. So our approach is going to be this. Our hope is that through our COVID-19 response that the state continues to work and that a treatment and vaccine is developed for COVID-19. I am confident that as we move forward towards completion of construction and that if we find ourselves continuing to be in COVID-19 response, given the layout and the functionality of the overall building, I am very confident that we can make adjustments. And really, with me saying that is we don't need to stop what we're doing. We can continue to move forward. And we'll have the ability to utilize the spaces in different ways if we find ourselves in that position. All of the signs at this point that I'm aware of point towards we're heading to down the path of having a treatment developed, and I'm hopeful that we will. I've heard things about second waves either hitting us in September or as late as November of this year, and we're going to continue to do all the right things to keep our community safe and make sure that we can get through this COVID health pandemic. So let me know if there's any follow-up question to that, but I'm confident that we'll be able to make adjustments if necessary.
Well, I appreciate that. I would just say that it's really not a matter of confidence. It's a matter of chemistry, biology. Hopefully there will be a treatment for the COVID-19 and eventually a vaccine, but there may not be. And right now, I'm not a medical expert, but listening to those that are, it seems like maybe a 50-50 chance that there won't be a vaccine. And if there is for COVID-19, it's looking more and more probable that there'll be another pandemic after this one, just like there was one before this one. So I feel fairly certain that the way we've been doing things is not going to be an option. So I would just encourage us to go slow here. Take a breath. A side question is, I understand that the financing is through a lease purchase agreement, and I assume that means that user fees would be projected in the planning stage to cover the lease payments. But what happens if that's not true for whatever reason, and that reason most likely at the moment being that we can't use the rec center like we'd planned?
That's a great question, and let me share another perspective for you. The city has the ability to make our debt service payments on the building based on our current finances. Fortunately, thanks to the hard work of past mayors and councils, we have been a financially conservative city. And so we have a significant reserve level of about 75%, which gives us a cushion if we need that at some point in the future. The one other consideration that I'll share about our rec center, our new facility, is it's a much larger facility than our existing facility. And so one of the things we've found throughout our COVID-19 response and how we've been trying to make adjustments to providing activities is space helps you in that in terms of programming. A bigger pool, a bigger gym area, a larger theater. So it's, there's a lot of unknowns at the end of the day with COVID-19. And I know that we'll continue to do what we can to move forward. You're correct in terms of one of the funding streams to help support the recreation center. There's a portion of our marijuana tax revenue that's also dedicated towards the capital construction of the facility. So, we're going to do everything we can to offer high-quality programming, and happy to answer any additional follow-up questions you have.
No, that's okay. I appreciate your answer. Obviously, it's been a point of consideration, and that was the purpose of my call. And I doubt that you're. Unfortunately, I'm afraid we're all not through with considerations forced on us by this and other pandemics to come. We're naive to think that we can return to normal, I think. I wish we could. I wish that weren't true, but it just doesn't appear to be in the cards.
Okay. Well, I really appreciate you calling. One of the things that I know City Manager Geyer will do is reach out to Tri-County Health and have them weigh in on your question about our rec center and the future of it. So we appreciate you raising that question, and we hope you have a great night.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, we're going to move to Tom. Tom, are you ready?
Yes, Tom Kinesny, is that who you're looking for?
I don't have your last name on the screen, but it doesn't matter. Your name is Tom, and you get to go next. What is your question?
Okay, well, before I get to my question, I just have a quick couple statements here. At this particular time, I know that the rec center and the activities are very, very limited, but with the instructors who do the cardio and other stability and all the other classes that normally seniors would participate in at the center, it's being done online, and it is probably one of the best things that Kate and well, basically everybody there at North Glen, whoever participated in that program, it works out very well. So that's just a comment. And then the other comment I have before I get to my question, I am a member of CPAN, which is the Citizens Police Academy, with North Glen, and my wife, who's with me, is likewise. We have the highest respect of the North Glen Police Department, and those who have gone through the Police Academy with, well, at the time it was Scott McNeely, now Jeremy Lund, of course Chief May, and a lot of other participants, really gives people an insight to what is happening in the North Glen Police Department, really what's happening with those officers, what's happening and what they have to deal with on a daily basis. And as a member of CPAN, it's right now we're all kind of restricted because of COVID and what all we can do to assist North Glen. But as members of CPAN, we do have word of mouth, and we do that, at least I and my wife do all the time, give the praise for North Glen Police Department. And if people want to know what's going on, well, as soon as this COVID thing gets behind us and the police academy, which there's a real excellent community room there to have this facilitated at, it's a good way for the public to, you know, to know what's going on and know firsthand. Okay, so that, I just wanted to give more or less kudos to North Glen, and I'm proud to be a member of CPAN. Now, moving on to my question, Mitch, are you the gentleman that's doing the 360 program?
I am, yes.
Yes, Mitch. Okay. We went to one of the meetings where you asked for participation and input from the community. And while we were there, I could very well see that it was kind of divided, the group, between, you know, really positive people, and there were some people that just, well, somewhat there to have their, you know, complaints, okay? One of the things that came up, and it was on the radar, is the skate park, I believe, which is in the southeast corner of the EB Range Park, with the activity there, et cetera. Well, obviously, North Glen Police Department is very well aware of what goes on there, et cetera, et cetera. But this now leads to my question is, I'm seeing online and I have heard that there is going to be these, per se, well, with, I don't know if it's going to be a protest, but it's going every Saturday and Sunday, they're going to meet there and have some type of forum. And I don't know what that is. Maybe Chief May, maybe you know exactly what that is. Is it, you know, is it something that is to be concerned with? I mean, that's kind of odd that our community would do something like that.
Well, Actually, the one that's putting that together, he's been in contact with Commander Osgood, and again, he did one recently, and it went off just beautifully, very peaceful. So I really don't have any concerns of his the group of people that he's pulling together to protest. So again, that's his First Amendment right, and we want to make sure that he has the ability and those that are attending have the ability to do so. So that's all I have.
Okay, good. So it's been a peaceful forum that's been and is this kind of just broad as far as what they're doing, or is it because of any incident that happened in North Glen has arose an issue here?
So, Tom, that's a really good question. We are not organizing this, so and I haven't attended, so we don't know the answer to that question. I do have a caller online that I believe is going to tell us more about it. So when we hang up with you, stay on the call so that you can hear more about it. We have a couple. We can switch it. We're going to go next to a caller that I think is going to tell us more about it.
Okay, very good. Well, thank you for letting us have the opportunity to speak. And again, appreciate it.
Thank you, Tom. We appreciate it. All right, so we're going to move to Andrew, because I think Andrew can weigh in a little bit. Andrew, are you there?
Yeah, this is Andrew.
Hi, so you probably heard Tom's question. Go ahead and tell us what you want to share and ask your own question.
Yeah, so it's about the protest. I personally live right there at that corner. I'm not organizing it at all, but I definitely have seen across the country what's been going on and understand kind of the feeling. I think with North Glen and you and the whole community giving those statistics about the actual race presence in North Glen, I think it's a huge opportunity for us to not be silent about it and come out and actually not be us or them, and just be together. And I actually wanted to invite the chief of police and any other police officers that want to come and actually march together. So we have this opportunity to actually show our solidarity together, know that it's not going to happen in North Glen, and so see that there's steps being done to actually contribute to a solution. I think earlier they were talking about training, and I think the statistic that has been going around has been only 5 hours dedicated to de-escalation training. And that was the answer that I got from North Glen Police Department after some concerning calls. I live at that corner, like I say, so I've been fortunately and unfortunately been a witness and a party to some police interactions. And I've seen mental health issues come up, different things like even just simple traffic stops where you have three cruisers show up to one incident. And I'm not saying it's based on race or anything like that. I just say that when you have three cruisers show up to a traffic stop, it's very easy to use nervousness as probable cause to further that incident, to escalate it. And I think those issues and those things need to be talked about in North Glen, and there's some actionable items that we could take as a community together to see that there is that happening in our community. But just because it's not happening to you doesn't mean it's not happening to some of us. And I think we all should be within that we, us mentality, not the them or they type of thing. And I think that's a great way to do it peacefully and, show that we're all in this together.
Andrew, I appreciate that, and thank you for calling. You had mentioned that the event is on June 21st. Do you have more information to share?
I think they just said Saturday and Sunday starting June 20th or 21st. And then as interest grows or dissipates, they plan on doing it every Saturday. I haven't engaged with the city at all to see if they're going to be providing any type of assistance for power or like a PA system or anything like that. I've offered my services in my home with an extension cord and a PA system. There's going to be a speaker at, I think, 5:30, and then a march in the park at 6:30. And people have said that it's ironic that it's at E.B. Raines where it's a fallen officer, but I think it's an opportunity, actually, to show that we're all in this together, and it's not an us or a them. So it's actually quite apt, in my opinion.
Well, we appreciate that sentiment. Because the city is not organizing the event, we don't provide any support for it, but I appreciate you giving that information to the callers that are on today. So thank you so much for calling in.
Yeah, no problem.
Okay, have a good night. So we're going to move to next caller is Nancy. Nancy, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. I'm here.
Hi, I see that you have a comment for us tonight. What is that?
I do. Do you know how I was asked, you know, suggesting that a group other than the police department have accountability for police officers that have problems? My statement wanted to be, well, I think there should also be a place for people that have interactions with police to a public forum, so to speak, to say, wow, this police officer was great. He helped me with this. He helped me with that.
Oh, well, that's a great suggestion. And there is a place on our website, the web page, the police webpage, where you can add those compliments. And I know they would really appreciate it. I think that's a great idea. So it's good to balance out feedback.
Yeah, well, you figured it out before I did. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, we're moving. Next caller is Kathy. Kathy, are you ready?
I am. How are you?
Hi, good. Thanks for calling. What is your question?
Actually, I have a couple questions. I had talked to the commander a couple of weeks ago regarding the speeding still on Claude Court, and I was wondering, why did they take down our speed bumps, is my first question.
This is City Manager Heather Geyer. Thanks for that question.
Hi, Heather.
The reason those speed bumps or humps or speed tables,
yeah,
there's a lot of different ways we refer to them, and they came up because we are in the process of we hired a contractor, Brennan, and they are currently working on Melody Drive right now for a mill and overlay, which is where they tear up the asphalt and then lay new asphalt, so we call that a mill and overlay. We're going to be doing a resurfacing project on Claude Court, and then permanent speed humps are going to be put down. I don't have an exact timeline for you. It will be done this summer. The contractor's scheduled to be on Melody Drive through next week. I'll have to check in with staff and see where we're at on that. In the interim, while the temporary speed humps came up and before we get the permanent speed humps down, we have patrol active in these different areas. So we've had a patrol officer out there. We were able to launch a traffic unit in May. And so we have had an officer dedicated solely to traffic enforcement throughout the area. And we have been, he has been in areas strategically based on the number of complaints we receive from community members and enforcing our traffic laws on residential streets. And so I think I have your contact information. I can reach out to you or have a staff member follow up with you about the particular timeline for when that work is going to get done.
That's perfect. That's kind of what I generally thought. And I remember a couple of weeks ago, I was talking to the commander, and I was telling her, you guys can probably, like, expedite the process of the North Glen Community Center by just issuing tickets on Claude Court. There are so many speeders. And, you know, now that all of our seniors, including myself and children, are coming out of quarantine, everyone's starting to walk around the blocks, and you see children. And these speeders, my husband and I can sit up and down, and that red and blue light flashes in front of our house like it's going crazy. And I have never, ever seen a police officer on Claude Court giving tickets. And I have neighbors that go up to 120th that say the same. So I'm just kind of curious on who they report to that actually does do the ticketing, because this shouldn't be happening. And maybe on those signs, my comment is maybe on those signs that flash and give our speed limits, if those can be like the tolls and give tickets to the, you know, have a camera on them and literally give tickets to the people that are speeding. That would really put a stop to a lot
of
it.
That's a really creative idea. Those speed signs are intended to help create awareness that
exactly
and flag a motorist that you are going over the speed limit.
Yes.
We did Go ahead.
I think they've just so, you know, come accustomed to the one speed bump way up there, and then the other one's going to be down there, so I'm going to race and go over it. But it's just out of control, totally out of control. Right. And that's why I'm thinking if they put a camera there, and literally so the police officers don't have to sit there and issue tickets all day, you would get so much revenue from the city, from the speeders, that it would pay for a lot of the stuff we need in our city. So that's okay. One thing. And do you know when the RTD is going to be starting up?
Great question. September is the target time frame. Right now, we don't have a specific date within September, but I know progress is being made
yes.
in terms of their testing, and haven't heard that there are going to be any new delays. So we'll get that information out to the community as soon as we know it.
Okay. Well, I appreciate all of our panel being there tonight and taking our concerns and cares. It's very important to the community that you hear what's happening and that hopefully something will be done with it.
Yes, of course. Kathy, we really appreciate you calling, and we hope you stay on until we're done. We have a lot of exciting
topics.
Oh, I do.
I enjoy these.
I'm so glad. Oh, that's good. I'm glad to hear that.
Thank you.
Okay, so next caller is Dee. Dee, are you there? Oh, did we lose Dee? Okay, we're going to move to Bobby. Bobby, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Hi, Bobby. Thanks for calling. What is your question or comment tonight?
Well, first of all, I'd like to thank all of you guys for giving this opportunity for the city to kind of go over issues. I think that's the first step in the right direction, and that attests to the city of North Glen and the care that it takes for the city. My question is, well, it's kind of a question, a comment. We're in Ward 4, and we're off of, and this kind of goes off what the previous lady had spoken to. We're on Croak Drive, and one side of our street is Thornton, the other side is North Glen. We're on a hill, and it tends, the speed that people go down the street is unbelievable. It is on a hill, so it tends that it makes people want to go. They know that there's no stop sign from the top of 100th Avenue all the way down until they get to 98th. The city of North, I've spoken, tried to get and I've talked to a couple of the members of the board that are in this ward. They said they were going to get back with an email. One of them said they were going to just kind of, they were going to pull up on, you know, maybe one of their days off and see what the speed was like. But we, you know, living here for and since the 70s, we've kind of croaked kind of the stepchild of North Glen. I hate to say that, but it's just because that Thornton's on the other side and we're on the other side. The police presence, even doing normal patrols, We see Thornton go up and down the street all the time, but especially during during the school year, when kids are going to school, when they leave Northland High School, they know that this is a route that they'd rather take if they want to zoom up the street or zoom down the street, because they feel that they're not going to be seen or get caught. Whereas if they did it on Huron, and being that this is a school street, we have Niver at the end of the street. I think it's called Niver or whatever it is at the end of the street. We have Hillcrest at the top of the street, and we have Northland High School a block over. So during the school year, this street is very busy, especially during the lunch hour when kids, because most of them live over in this area. It's not when it happens. It's going to happen, that there's going to either be a tragic accident that ends up happening, because I've seen kids that are ride there because it's on a hill, to ride their skateboard up over down the hill. And because you're not able to see anybody coming up as you come over 100th Avenue down to 99th Avenue, you don't see anything that's on the top of that street. So as soon as they leave that stop sign, it's a free road all the way down the street. And my main concern is the fact that there hasn't been a lot of follow-up. There has been somebody that had put out a speed test, and that said that there wasn't enough supposedly information that was going to provide any type of assistance as far as maybe putting a stop sign coming down the street, or they talked about speed bumps, but then because we're on North Glen Thornton side, it would have to be agreed upon between both cities. But there was never any follow-up as far as anybody getting back to say, hey, we're looking into this, or even as far as police presence, that they would park on the street, because it's very dangerous, and it gets, I'm scared to death that someone's going to come out with one of these kids that are playing out in the street, and somebody's going down the street, and they're going to get hit by a car.
Bobby, this is City Manager Geyer. I've written down your contact info, and I'll have a member of our police department staff reach out to you, as well as our engineering staff, who can talk to you more about our No Need for Speed traffic calming program. It's a new program that was launched May 1st, and this program is different than programs in past years. Based on the complaints that we've received from the community and ongoing issues on residential roadways. So we'll have a couple staff members reach out to you and follow up on your concerns.
Okay, I appreciate that. One of the things that they did advise me of that they were going to try to do, and I don't know if this is still in progress in North Glen, that they set up speed cameras, because, of course, when you have the little trailer that has a speed thing on it, some people, they know they're not going to get a ticket. It just advises them if they're going too fast or whatever the case may be. So some kids use it as a see how fast they can go, and some people, they slow down. But I guess there was a process that was going to be put in place where there's a camera that's placed somewhere that's not visible, that can actually see the speeds of people going up and down the street.
Yes, that's part of our No Need for Speed program, traffic calming program, and it's actually not a camera, it's a radar. And so we're able to so previously we used the tubes that we'd lay across a roadway, and you, as a motorist, when you were coming up to those tubes, you could see them, and after people catch on, they slow down. And so it was skewing the data that we were getting on the engineering side. So now we're using radar, which we can put on both sides of the street in a discrete location to help really capture the true speeds on that roadway. So we'll reach out to you and follow up and see what's been done in the past, and then what we can do next for you in terms of doing that assessment.
Okay, that would be great, and I appreciate again, for everyone that's on here, as long as, we get the follow-up that we need, I think at least we'll get some answers. I mean, that's the hardest thing is when you try to know, I've even gone out the street, you know, somebody will go down and I'll take videos of people going up and down the street. I was going to submit them in, but I mean, you know, I think, it, you know, it's something that can be addressed, and I'll look forward to hearing that communication.
And please know you can always reach out to me via email or at the office, and my email is on our website, but it's hgeyer@northglenn.org. So feel free anytime to reach out to me with any complaints or concerns. And but we'll follow. I'll make sure you get follow up on what you discussed with us tonight.
Okay. And then one real quick question. This maybe somebody knows or maybe somebody doesn't know. We used to have Comcast, and we were able to get the North Glenn City Council meetings on TV. And we switched to DirecTV. We don't seem to get that anymore. Is that something that's just through the carrier, or is somebody aware of something where we can see the city council meetings when they when they're aired?
Hi, this is Diana. I'm the communications director. We do only have Channel 8 on Comcast, so if you don't have Comcast, you won't get Channel 8. However, all the meetings are live on the Internet. You just need to go to our YouTube channel. So if you go to the agenda page on our website, there's a link to our YouTube channel. It's also right across the top on the main menu on the main page. But it's YouTube. If you do a search for North Glenn, we do have the City Council meetings live on YouTube. And then they're also recorded there as well.
Okay, great. Thank you for that information.
Thank you so much for calling. We hope you have a great night.
You too.
Okay, we're going to try Dee again, see if she's available. Dee, are you there?
Yes, I just want to make a comment. I think our police officers in North Glenn do a wonderful, fantastic job. And the young man that called in about three patrol cars showing up for one traffic stop, a police officer doesn't know who is behind that wheel, and I appreciate they have backup.
Okay. Well,
and I really do. You know, they do a wonderful job, and I, for one, really appreciate them. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much. We appreciate you calling in. Okay, so I want to move to some of our online questions again. We have quite a few people typing in questions, but I want to address one really quickly that's a combination of a telephone question and a question that we've been getting in every single telephone town hall. So Stephen raised it today, and he says, there seems to have been an increase in racing and or vehicles with loud exhaust around the city. It's very disruptive. And so are there any ideas for that? So in every town hall we've done, we've heard about the racing. So I'm going to turn this over to Chief May.
Stephen, yes, we so some things that we're doing, this is, you know, groups of people that that we found out that are meeting, you know, on Twitter and then hitting places where they can meet up. Some of the places in North Glenn would be over off of 104th Avenue, you know, at the AutoZone, also the Marketplace, and then also in Westminster at the RTD Park and Ride. So we've had officers trying to impact those groups. Again, it's very sporadic some, you know, some nights. So we're trying to work with, so we've been, my traffic officer's been in contact with CSP and some surrounding agencies to get some assistance on that. It's sometimes very difficult to catch them actually racing. But what we have been trying to write tickets on are their altered suspensions, exhaust systems, illegal lighting, that kind of stuff, trying to deter them from coming to Northland. But we're going to keep on working on it. Unfortunately, I think it's going to be a summer-long fight for us to get this, you know, try to get this under control. But we definitely need, and it's impacting communities all around us, you know, try to get, you know, some type of task force or something else that we can put together to actually deal with some of these problems. So what they try to do, just to, if people online don't know, they'll meet up and then they'll decide how they're going to go on the highway. They'll jump on I-25, And then they will slow down the lanes, and then a couple of them will take off north. And even if we get in behind them, you know, they will not stop for us at that point. And we have, you know, pursuit policies and everything else for the safety of our community. So, again, the best way that we can impact is keep issuing those summonses for some of the car alterations that they're doing. And if we do catch them, it's reckless drive. If we, you know, able to get a plate and catch them and identify the driver and develop that probable cause, you know, we'll tow their vehicle. We'll also, you know, charge them with reckless driving.
Okay. So continuing with the online questions, we have a resident, Diana, could you scroll for me, that has typed in quite a few questions. So thank you, Tran Wills, for being a part of tonight. So a couple of the questions, one is a comment, so I'm just going to read what she had to say. It says, by defunding and reallocating resources so we can create space for mental health services, social workers, victim survivor advocates who are more equipped to deal with crisis in our community, a safe community has more resources, not more police. So that's a comment from Trans. And then she has, or Tran, sorry, and we have two questions in addition to that. So the first one I'm going to toss to our city manager, and it says, where is the information for the city budget to see how much of our taxes are being used to fund the North Glen Police?
Thank you, Mayor Lighty. If you go to the city website and you type into the search function 2020 budget, the link, which is a PDF file, should appear as an option for you to access the entire city budget. We also have a tool called OpenGov. It's called Financial Transparency. And the budget can be an overwhelming document if you're not familiar. We try to break it down in a very user-friendly manner. But you can click on our Financial Transparency link, and that takes you to our OpenGov online portal, and that gives you real-time information in terms of what's being spent throughout the city and compared to what's been budgeted for the year. For 2020, and certainly this has changed because we've made about 15% in reductions throughout our departments as a result of our COVID-19 response. The police department budget that council adopted is $11 million, but based on projections, we'll come in under that amount for the year.
Okay, and then the other question that Tran had, I'm actually going to toss to Mitch, so I'm hoping he's still with us. Mitch, it says, on your team to do the 360 report for the City of North Glen, the North Glen Police Department, did you have a diverse team to help with this report, people of color and women? Mitch, could you answer that?
I am still here, and I appreciate that. The short answer to your question is on this particular project, no. We have used a lot of different resources on. I have used a lot of different resources on projects of this nature in the past. Also have a large background myself in diversity within policing. I want to be clear. You know, I recognize. And hear the voices of those folks that are feeling really challenged right now. But our team in particular did not have any specific persons of color or women on it. But again, we have used folks had a more diverse team in other engagements. And really, what we're doing here in our process is bringing in an analysis of the organization and comparing it to best practices within the industry, which have been really developed and refined over a course of several years as we've been doing these projects. So we're certainly confident in our ability to appropriately and adequately assess the organization.
Great, thank you. Commander Walt, since you're with us tonight, would you like to add on?
Yeah, I want to add on that although Mitch's team hasn't had anybody on there, I am the project manager and have been overseeing the project and then making sure that the members of our department have been involved in the process. And so that has combined with Mitch's team. So we have had all diverse populations through there, participating in the project with Mitch's team.
Great. Okay, we're going to move back to our caller. So hopefully, Gail, really quickly, before Gail starts, we have gone over. We still have some participants hanging on with us, and so we're going to continue for another about 5 minutes. So thank you for staying on, and I would like to hear from Gail.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, I have two questions. Number one, we all heard through the news that DPS was pulling the SROs out of their schools. Will anything like that be happening with Adams 12, and do you know?
So, Gail, that's a really important question, and I'm really glad you raised it tonight because I think a lot of residents have the same question. You may or may not know that I'm an elementary school principal full-time in Jefferson County, and so when that decision came down, it, you know, affected me personally as well. I reached out to our Adams 12 school board, and I know our superintendent has also commented. Adams 12 has no plans to change their SRO program at this time. They have some beliefs around it, but the Adams 12 school board, that's the decision maker on that. And so if you have opinions on either side of that, those are the individuals that you would need to take those concerns to. So I was told that they have no plans to take SROs out of our schools at this time.
Okay, thank you. The other question I have is I spend a lot of time on the North Glen Digest and the online North Glen, I guess it's gripe coverage, and I hear a lot of stuff about fireworks. I mean,
okay.
There's fireworks going off all over the place. My question is, are the police able to take and keep up with these? Are they being reported? I know people are afraid to take and call the police because it's their neighbor and they don't want to have bad feelings. So,
hi, Gail. This is Chief May. One of the things that already this year, since I think June 1st, we've written, I think, 3 summonses for fireworks. And again, when, you know, my recommendation, when people hear them and please call in, again, they're pretty sporadic at this point. But again, in a couple weeks, we know that, you know, they're going to, you know, really start going off. So, and for 4th of July, actually the day before, so actually Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, we're putting extra officers out, and that's our primary duty to enforce fireworks. And actually, on June 22nd, Commander Waltz will be talking about the 4th of July operation plan. So please tune in then, and she'll take care of that.
Okay, because, you know, I keep hearing all this, well, my ring didn't catch the thing. And, you know, I just was curious because I thought, well, without having the park, you know, full of people, that we would have extra officers that would be out on the street. And maybe this year, you know, maybe this year they can catch some more.
And we also changed the city ordinance. So it's going to be also, if there's fireworks being shot off from a house and we can't cite them that night, the person responsible for that house will be also the one getting the summons. And it could be served the next day. So we are taking a pretty hard stance on it, and we're going to do our best. Again, we tried to educate. We've done a lot of education over the last 2 years. But again, it comes to a point, it's like, come on, you know, be respectful of your neighbors, especially those with pets. Also, our veterans, it does cause harm. So we are taking a serious stance. We'll do our best. I can tell you right now, we're not going to catch them all. But we're going to do our very best to make sure that we can reduce the amount of fireworks in our community.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you so much. So we have run out of time, and we are very sorry about that. We are going to take one more call, and then we are going to wrap up. So, Jackie, are you online?
Yes, I'm here. Thank you for taking my call.
Hey.
Look, can you hear me okay?
Yes, we can.
Well, I have a comment and a concern. I am a CPAN member. I have the utmost respect for the Northland Police Department. Being involved with that organization has been a very enjoyable part of my life. And I have the utmost respect for Chief May. You could not have a better person in that position. So praise to all of you. The concern that I have, my mom lives in Northland. We've lived there since 1959 in the house that I grew up on, so we've seen a lot of changes. And she lives off 104th and Grant Drive. It's a very busy street in the older part of Northland. And to go along with the racing situation and the different noises and all, that seems to be a major problem on that street. And from Garland up to 104th, going straight up Grant Drive, is not a long street, but it's used as a racetrack. And I'm wondering maybe if there was a little bit more police presence, maybe for citations and all, that could slow things down on that street.
Hi, Jackie. It's Chief May. How are you? Thanks for
tonight. I'm fine. Thank you.
Well, actually, and you're not the only one talking about some traffic issues in our community. And one of the things I just want to, again, we were able to start to gear up our traffic unit. So that started May 1st, and currently we only have one officer on that team. By the end of July, we'll have a second, and then we're hopefully next year we can add a couple more to really get that traffic unit up and going, again, for education. So we're around in our school zones and, you know, those high impact dealing with some of those racing things. So we understand on some of those areas in the city on the outskirts that you might not see the traffic team, but, again, we will try to, you know, start doing that, and especially in our problem areas where we're seeing high accidents or high complaints of speeding. Also, you know, so we're going to be, you know, ramping that up over the next couple months on this. I can tell you our traffic officers, I think he's averaging 20 tickets a day and in those areas. So that's pretty good. And then when the second one comes out, and they're all going to be motorcycle certified. So you're going to probably see the motorcycles. We just ordered them. You should probably see those 1st of August. So pretty excited about the program.
Oh, that's wonderful. I'm thrilled to hear that, and I'll certainly relay that on to my mom. I know it's a big city to take care of, and, you know, there's a lot of streets to take a look at, but thank you. I certainly appreciate you taking a look into this, and I'll bet I'll see you out there.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you
all very much.
And again, and I think, you know, tonight, you know, with the CPAM members that talked this evening, and some, you know, probably thinking how they can actually get involved. And one of the things that's really important, and actually I was actually put this program together, and it's our Citizen Police Academy back in 1997. And it was one of those things of community policing, reaching out to our members of our community so they got to see what we do and how we do things, and also hearing from them. And, again, my belief is the better we know our community, the better police service we can provide. So it's very important to reach out to the, you know, groups and everybody else. If they are a little hesitant, please make an appointment, come in and talk with me. You get to know me. I love people. And I think I think that's probably why I'm sitting in this seat today, is because of my community policing things that I've done over the years. And please, you know, attend the Citizens Academies. You can be part of CPAN, really get to know your police department, and that gives us an opportunity to get to know you as well. So I know there's, you know, with everything going on in our nation right now, we're going to do our best. You know, my goal is when I decide to hang it up, I want to be the I want to turn it over to the next person, but I want to make sure it's a, you know, a, probably the best police department in the metro area. So that's why we're doing this assessment. That's why we're, you know, we want to sit down at the table and discuss next steps and provide the best service possible. So again, I appreciate everybody's comments. I'm sorry I didn't get to all of them, but I'm always available. I'm your chief. This is our community. Let's work together and make it the best community possible.
Yes, thank you so much. I want to take a minute and just thank all of the participants tonight. Thank you for taking the time to listen and to ask really good questions. We know we had a lot of questions coming through. We had a ton that were submitted online, and we had a lot of callers that we were not able to get to tonight. So I wanted to direct everyone to the website, so www.northglen.org/virtualtownhall, and you will find all of the information from all of the telephone town halls we've done during the last few months. So when you click on the date, you'll have the recording of this conversation, but then you'll also have a document that has all of the questions and answers for the questions that we weren't able to get to during this time together. So if you asked a question, it will be listed there and the answer will be provided. But I want to piggyback on what Chief May said, is that we are available to you outside of these telephone town halls. I've had really engaging and diverse conversations with our residents in the last few weeks. And I appreciate the phone calls, I appreciate the emails, and I want to encourage everyone to continue doing that. And as I wrap up, I just want to thank all of our participants. Thank you, Mitch, for being with us tonight. And really quickly, we will see you, I believe, on July 22nd at a city council meeting. You will be presenting the 360 assessment. Is that correct?
That is correct. Looking forward to it.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. So that will be a city council meeting that residents will probably want to log in to YouTube if you don't have Comcast. So join us for that. Thank you to City Manager Geyer, Commander Waltz, our Director of Communications, Diana Wilson, for putting this together, and Chief May, thank you for being here tonight. I hope everyone has a great evening, and we'll hope to talk to you soon.